So just before Olivia gets started, there, if kids need it, there's some Play-Doh and pipe cleaners for manipulatives and some fishies. So if kids, if you would like to get that, so while you're listening to Olivia, you can move your fingers. And yeah, we'll just wait till they all settle down and then we're good.
Okay.
Okay, feeling good? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So, hi, Gathering Church. My name's Olivia, and I'd like to start my sermon by just reading the passage, Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. So, just then, a religious scholar stood up with a question to test Jesus. Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life? He answered, what's written in God's law? How do you interpret it? He said that you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you love yourself. Good answer, said Jesus. Do it and you'll live. Looking for a loophole, the religious scholar asked, and just how would you define neighbor? Jesus answered by telling a story. There was once a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the way, he was attacked by robbers. They took his clothes, beat him up, and went off, leaving him half dead. Luckily, a priest was on his way down the same road, but when he saw him, he angled across to the other side. Then a Levite religious man showed up. He also avoided the injured man. A Samaritan traveling down the road came on him. When he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. He gave him first aid, disinfecting and bandaging his wounds. Then he lifted him onto his donkey, led him to an inn, and made him comfortable. In the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take good care of him. If it costs any more, put it on my bill. I'll pay you on my way back. What do you think? Which of the three became a neighbor to the man attacked by robbers? The one who treated him kindly, the religious scholar responded. Jesus said, go and do the same. So the first thing that I noticed about this passage was that instigated the story of the Good Samaritan being told to the religious scholar was about the term loophole. I think that this term is used to digress from the true plan or the goal, and it may be used because it is easier for us to avoid doing things we find difficult or challenging. The religious scholar asking Jesus, how do I really get eternal life? To which Jesus responded, what is in God's law? And how did the scholar interpret it? The phrase the scholar used was that you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. This then made the religious scholar brainstorm other easier methods of getting eternal life than what was written in God's law. He wanted to choose who his neighbors were in order to fulfill the love your neighbor as you do yourself criteria easier. The idea of loving your neighbor as you love yourself isn't who physically lives next door to you or even your friends on the block, kitty corner to your house. It's not even the people we already love. It's the people we don't want to be kind to or anticipate receiving kindness from. You may have someone like this in mind who you don't particularly enjoy spending time with or just detest in general. These are the individuals that Jesus implores us to be a neighbor to. This is shown later in the passage as we see the least likely person we think would help the man who was just attacked on his way to Jericho. Just to jog your memories, there was a man on his way to Jericho from Jerusalem. On the way, with a group of robbers stole the man's clothes and beat him up. The man laid on the road half dead. First a priest walked by him, and then a Levite religious man also avoided him. Although this isn't a happy area to discuss, I think that we must analyze all point of views when it comes to these religious men disregarding the half-dead man. Personally, I feel that if I had seen a beat-up stranger on the ground, I'd be very uncomfortable. Being a youth, I don't think I would have had the ability to help in such a helpless situation. But then again, these weren't just teenage girls walking along this road. No, they were 2 religious people who had walked away from this man. To put it lightly, I feel that these 2 men were a bit hypocritical. How can you claim to work for God and follow him if you don't even try to help someone you've seen needing desperate assistance? If a priest doesn't help you when you need it, then who will? I believe that in every situation I come across, I will try to do the best I can do. In this scenario, had I been one of these men and cell phones were invented, I would have done my best by calling for help and staying with the man until it arrived. I'm almost positive you would have done your best too, and maybe for you in your comfort zone, that would have been even more than what I would have planned. But these 2 religious men didn't do anything to help him. This reminds me of the golden rule in school that I learned many years ago, which is treat others the way you'd want to be treated. If the religious man had changed, the religious men, had changed their perspectives and thought, that could have been me, I think that that would have resulted in the man getting help sooner. But alas, that didn't end up happening, and this man was ignored. In today's world, I think people go through life feeling ignored too. Maybe not physically ignored like this man was. Emotionally, I think that we've all noticed people like this, sometimes referred to as outcasts and more. These individuals tend to keep to themselves and not engage. I think that whether they mean to or not, it is important to say hi or how are you once in a while to decrease any feelings of isolation they might have. I've tried doing this when I first came to high school. It can be overwhelming to see so many new people, making people intimidated to spark up conversation. Cue my new friend I've made this year, who I like to call my locker buddy. This person always kept to himself and seemed generally startled to see that I was beside his locker, thinking nobody else would be there. I had seen him often sitting alone eating his lunch, and I felt that I should try talking to him. I said hello, good morning, and have a good weekend to this locker buddy for months now, and even smiled at each other as we passed in the hallways. While these gestures may seem insignificant or small, I think that they've had a big impact on me and him as we've started chatting. I've asked my fellow youth, when have they experienced neighborly actions, and when have they been a neighbor to others? They gave me many great examples, such as helping teachers clean after class, helping with setups on Sunday mornings, helping classmates with schoolwork, and instances where neighbors have helped them was receiving food in times of need and getting help doing their own schoolwork. Making people feel seen and significant is something we all desire to feel in ourselves. We should try our best to make our peers, locker neighbors, and neighbors in Jesus' terms feel value too, because that is what we all truly want and what God wants of us too. Now, back to the story. The next part is when the injured man is finally recognized. A Samaritan had traveled down the same road and saw the man, and when he did, his heart went out to him. This Samaritan disinfected the wounds, brought him on his donkey to an inn where he stayed until morning, then paid to have him taken care of. God gave the good Samaritan the ability to walk past the men had done twice before. But the Samaritan, the least likely to try and help the man, helped because his heart went out to him. The actions that this good Samaritan took to help this injured man is how Jesus was able to truly define neighbor to the religion scholar from the start of the passage. He said, "What do you think? Which of the three became a neighbor to the man attacked by robbers?" "The one who treated him kindly," the scholar replied, to which Jesus said, "Go and do the same." This passage has taught me that you don't have to rescue an injured person or be everyone's best friend to make a positive impact on their life. What it shows us as Christians is that we don't have to help everyone, but that we should do what we can to uplift the law of God and be a good neighbor to all as best we can. Thank you for listening.